Hey, thank you for choosing to spend some time with us here at Awake the Iron. These podcasts are also posted as videos on our website, so be sure to visit awaketheiron.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Awake the Iron Academy. You'll never be bored again as you explore vast archives of videos, interviews, documents, lectures, humor, and more, covering an ever-increasing range of topics. Think of it like a self-guided, self-paced college, but without the mountains of debt. We would also love to hear from you, and you can do that two ways, either through the website contact form, or leave us a voice message by calling the Awake the Iron hotline. That's 601-654-IRON. It could be kind of a short talk, but it doesn't matter. So
maybe not.
Yeah. So anyway, all the stuff I'm saying now could be good in the thing. So we'll just start.
Yeah.
It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already.
I don't want to lose heart!
We watched you guys land on the moon.
No,
which
you didn't. You watched animation.
It is Photoshop, but it's has to be.
No, screw your freedom.
Get vaccinated now.
I will never be on the wrong side again.
Awake the Iron.
All right. We're back with another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt. And with me again is CJ, the Lion of Losanniville. And I called CJ up. It's kind of last minute. Not the things that we're going to talk about, but these have been on my mind for a long time. But one of them is a new thing. But anyway, I was in kind of a ranty mood, and I had all these thoughts that were kind of bubbling up, and we wanted to talk about them. One of them is kind of breaking news, so, and we wanted to get this out there as quick as possible. And the first thing I really want to talk about is the fact that the G20 summit, what is that? We'll talk about maybe what that is. The G20 summit has proposed, and CJ and I, you know, and people like us are going to be like, yeah, we kind of saw this one coming, and maybe other people too, but they've proposed a digital vaccine passport in order to travel. So it's a The G20 summit is a weird thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is that the G stands for government. There's basically 20 governments who are represented at, it's basically like a meeting, right? It's a big meeting, and you got 20 governments. It's the 20 top economies in the world. And they get together and they meet and talk about, you know, what should we be doing? What shouldn't we be doing? And it's this real, for me, it's like the Lords meet on what they're going to do with us. And that's simplified, but that's exactly what it is. I was just going to be frank about it. And just so you know, not all countries go to that because it was the top 20 economies. But they talk about all kinds of things, and people who aren't even in government appear at this thing and present their ideas. It's this giant, like, how do we, corporations are like, hey, how do we do things that'll prop us up? And then, right. And then they're also like, and then, hey, governments, like, you can, you know, kind of gain some power as well. And I don't like it. And a lot of directives that trickle down to us, the regular folks, right, come from the people that rule over us, our direct governments. So if you're in China or if you're in Japan or whatever, you're in Australia, your governments are doing things to control you. That's a fact. It's governments are just, they're controlling your behavior, or they want to. But all of these governments all meet together at this little club that we're not invited to, the little people, and they decide what they're going to do with us. And it's quite alarming. And the weird thing is if you actually read, and we'll take a look at something here in a minute, but if you actually read some of the proposals, or the, like, basically the things they talked about, and everyone, all the governments that were there, like, yes, this is great. It's really, really bothersome. Just the language, like, you know, I'll paraphrase because it's written in more like legalese, but
okay, basically, wait, before we do that,
okay, sorry, it's good. It's been on my mind. Yeah.
Okay, so to play devil's advocate, mm-hmm. Not me, but we elect leaders. So it's our choice who those people are, and we entrust them to make decisions and do things to, you know, run things for our best interests. So if lots of them want to get together and exchange ideas of how things can be better and how the world can be better. If, you know, hey, we did this in our country, you could do this. Oh, well, that's cool. And then bring in an expert that's not a government person. So that idea kind of makes sense, you know?
So
I think that's what a lot of people might think who might listen to this. Like, well, what's so wrong with that?
Yes. And what you just said, that all sounds good. But if someone actually thinks that, and I'm talking to anyone who thinks what CJ just said, which all sounds good, if you think that what he said is true, you have lived in a cave for the last 3 years. You are not paying attention to what's happening, right? And there's a lot of little points in there that I want to address. The most foundational being, you know, we elect officials and they're supposed to represent us and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that sounds great. That's not what's happening. It could even be argued that the word elect, right? Even, oh, I'm going to elect, we vote and we elect. I mean, anybody who's paid attention in the last short bit in the United States, elections are a catastrophe. And this goes to a deeper thing, and I'm just going to be quite honest that I'm not going to hold back anymore too much on what we're going to say, because there's a lot happening that I was unaware of. There's a deep a lot of this goes very deep. I personally don't think voting does anything. I think people are installed. I think I'm going to skip ahead on one of my points that I was going to talk about. I believe, and I think there's evidence to this, I believe there is a central mind or entity behind pretty much everything that happens. Above governments. And people say, well, that's crazy, blah, blah, blah. Is it crazy to think that there's something more going on? And I think the G20 summit is a little bit of a view into it. That's what's done out in the open. I mean, I'm not allowed to go there. But, you know, then they release their talking points and there's some videos from it, you know, some speeches and stuff and some other stuff, I'm sure. But, you know, yeah. What else is going on, right?
I want to interject. So
go ahead. Interrupt me anytime.
And yeah, there are like books written by some of these people involved that say, oh, we should do things like this and do things like this. So it's not just some crazy guy's idea. You know, that's documented. Do you know the book Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley?
Yes, heard of it. Have not read it.
And he was like a mentor to Bill Clinton. Well, there's a quote. We did the quotes episode, but We can throw in a quote. So he said in that book, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extreme shifts in policy.
And yeah, so yeah.
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 And that's why I always, like, any presidential election, I'm like, really, that one or that one? Those are our choices, Coke or Pepsi? I want water.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he says it like they say it, you know, it's not just, oh, it seems like this and this would be really bad. I hope it's not like that. Maybe it is. Well, they say that's what they want to do. And they say that's how it should work. So, yeah.
Right. And what's weird to me is countries, nations, for the most part, there aren't like all nations that agree on stuff. There's very, very few things that all or virtually all, there's very few things that all nations agree on. And look back to history. There's always somebody fighting about something or blah, 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 blah. There is one recent thing that all nations seemed to, and when I say nations, I mean the governments. I don't mean the people necessarily, even though some people might agree with what the government is doing. But, and the most recent one is that everyone needs to get that injection, right? Everyone's got to get the injection. Every nation agreed on that. That's weird to me. And, you know, and another one is that no one can independently explore Antarctica. And
right.
That should raise some questions. So,
yeah. Now, I mean, there could be, you know, if everybody actually genuinely thinks something is, you know, good and whatever, moral, like, for example, hey, we should all have rules that you shouldn't kill people. And like they all agree, that's not necessarily suspect just because, wow, they agreed on something, right? But yes.
Yes, you're right.
But however, I mean, obviously that's something different. Like,
correct.
We're going to require that everybody does something to their own body, which they should have free choice of what happens to that. Themselves.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's totally opposite, right?
Exactly. Right. So I think, yeah, there are some differences. And it's just weird. And it's scary. It's scary to me. The thought that, well, let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about this. They propose a lot of things at these summits, and I guess technically, like, country could end up not doing some of the things or whatever. But sometimes what's just as creepy to me is when a group of very, very, I mean, you got to admit, these are, you know, some of the most powerful nations on Earth, and that's why they're there. And they're talking about all this, all kinds of things to do as a one world.
It's a very pertinent question to ask, how do we build back better?
To build back better or whatever.
We have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
To build back better than before.
Remember the terrible damage of COVID as we try to build back from this global pandemic.
Joe Biden calls it build back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
To do things differently. To build back better.
We're going to build it back better.
And build it back better.
It's my plan to build back better.
Start taking all the problems that have been created in education and mental health and start to build back in a positive way.
I have launched a booklet called Build Back Better, Britain After Coronavirus.
It's about building this country back better.
Growing conspiracy following it. It is called the Great Reset.
An unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live.
The great opportunity for reset.
The theory even calls Mr. Biden's campaign slogan, Build Back Better, a front for the conspiracy.
Build back better.
Building back better, our economy.
Build back better.
All elements of the Great Reset are fundamental to building the future we need.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset.
It's a big effort to, some would say, to build back better. We would say to really have a Great Reset.
Conspiracy, conspiracy.
Conspiracy. It's a centralized power almost. And centralized power always steals power from the individual. So decentralize is usually means more freedom for the individual. So they meet together, they talk about what to do with all of us underlings, and they come back and they say, oh, you know, we've got these great ideas and we should all do this. But let me show it to you. Here is the, you see this here? This
yes.
Document? Yeah. This is the White House. The White House released this. Is basically like, since U.S. was at the G20 summit, they come back, hey, you know, this is what we learned. And we're going to look at point number 23 here. There's a bunch of, I read a ton of them. And the language is, to me, is frightening on most of this stuff. It's very much like, what will we do, you know, to allow people to travel and things like, I'm like, allow people to travel? What are you talking about? Like, I'm allowed to travel. I don't need your permission. Or so I thought, right? Mm-hmm. So, here's the key part here. This whole, I mean, people can just read the whole thing or whatever. This is all about like vaccine stuff. And, you know, we want to share technology in developing vaccine, blah, blah, blah. This may not be exactly what it says right here. I'm just looking. But here, I'm going to, it says, we acknowledge the importance of shared technical standards and verification methods under the framework of the IHR 2005 to facilitate seamless international travel. Interoperability and recognizing digital solutions and non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations. We support continued international dialogue and collaboration on the establishment of trusted global digital health networks as part of the efforts to strengthen prevention and response to future pandemics, if that's what you want to call it. It should capitalize and build on the success of the existing standards and digital COVID-19 certificates. So there's a lot in this document. There's a lot. And I mean, I encourage anybody, I'll put the link in the notes. I'll encourage anybody to go there and just read a few points just to kind of see what they're talking about. And the language on a lot of it is just very like, we're in charge. People got to do what we say. And people should be thinking about this. This is real stuff. And here's what's weird. The stuff in these kind of documents are things that quote unquote conspiracy theorists, I don't even like that word. I don't like that word, but people labeled as conspiracy theorists were talking about. So people say, oh my gosh. I mean, imagine 5 years ago, if I would have said to you, well, that's a bad example because you're pretty sharp. You're in the know. But if I had said to 10 random people that, hey, did you know that the governments they want you to have a digital certificate to prove what kind of vaccinations and things you've had, and if what you've done doesn't meet their standards, you ain't going nowhere. If I said that 5 years ago, you're a conspiracy theorist, right? And if I did come up with that, off the top of my head, I guess that would be a theory. But this technology exists. Actually, I don't have it prepared. I might edit it in after, but I was looking at this stuff and I found a clip where it was from March of 2021. So right now it's November of 22. So it's like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy, the CEO of some company that does exactly this, like digital passport, vaccine record type things. And they have already implemented it at that time in the English Premier League. That's the highest soccer league in England.
In terms of digital health passports, right, we actually have been utilizing digital health passports across English Premier League for the stadium, for all the players, media, and coaches as a safe way to get back into the stadiums. In terms of travel-wise, we certainly have been piloting this with Cathay Pacific, certainly IATA Common Pass as well. And so when we think about the future of digital health passports, we feel that it will certainly be necessary to include vaccinations and testing as a requirement for future of travel.
So in March of 21, if you were in the English Premier League playing soccer, you already had a digital vaccine record and a system and a software and the way that they were implementing that, a centralized, maybe the league said, hey, let's do this. So, there's corporations that stand to make a lot of money doing this as well. I don't think people that work in corporations are all bad people, but if it's profit driven, right, then it's like the pharmaceutical companies made so much money. Did they set out to, deceive everyone just to make a bunch of money? Maybe, maybe not, but they did make a bunch of money. And, when medical stuff is profitable, it starts to get kind of blurry to where it creates an environment that is ripe for corruption. right? Does that mean it'll always be corrupt? Maybe not. I think humans are corruptible. So more freedom, less centralized power where other people are deciding things that I can and can't do. So we got to look at what's happening. And again, I'm of the opinion, based on some years of looking, that there is a central mind behind basically everything all governments do. There's something else. So we say, well, what's the highest authority, you know, that you're under? And people mistakenly say, well, the government, right? Which the real authority is, I'm the highest authority, and there's only one above me. It's the creator, right? But no, government's not either. There's something else. There's an entity or a mind. Maybe it's not even human. I don't know. But there's something orchestrating everything that's going on. And it's pretty plain to see that. We don't have to know, you know, like for example, people say, well, who's they, right? Who's they? Well, you're looking at the flags behind me. These are the they, right? The top executives in these countries are the they, really. But I'm saying there's something above that. And so, well, okay, well, who's that? I don't know. Who's the district manager of Costco where you live? You don't know. There's someone. Maybe you could figure it out. What if that someone didn't want you to know who they were? Well, there's someone orchestrating it, but we're not sure. So, you got anything to add to that? That was a long monologue.
Well, I noticed the next point in that document you were reading started with the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated the transformation of digital ecosystems. So, you know, oh, because we had this, now, you know, this, the whole reason to have digital economy, you know, our plans are accelerated. But, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people normally might just think, you know, this happens, so then we do this, and then this happens, you know. Mm-hmm. However, it could be that if they want a certain outcome, then they cause or create or manufacture the previous event in order to cause that, right? Like, we want a digital economy. We want digital passports. How do we do that? Because most people aren't going to just be like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Right. Like my 5 year ago example, if I said, hey, you think that's a good idea? No. Right. But right. If they want it.
Right. So how would we do that? Well, okay, make everybody think that there's a really good reason to be able to show some kind of passport. Well, what would that reason be? Well, there's a deadly virus and everybody on Earth could die.
Mm.
Okay, well, if people are scared enough, then, right, then there's a reason why people be like, okay, well, that makes sense. We'll trust the leaders.
Right, right. Yeah, and if you think about, there's also there's a B20 summit too. It's like the business version. To be honest, I think that one's even scarier. But there's a B20 summit, and what's interesting is the companies represented at the B20 summit. You can look into it, and these businesses that meet, and they have all this power and influence. And then you have the media, who we're supposed to trust everything that comes from the media. I don't, of course. But, you know, these companies own the media. So what do you think? They're not really journalists. I mean, there are people who want to be, you know, that, but everything, you can't just do a story on whatever you want. It's approved, of course, or you're given, hey, go do a story on this or whatever. If you think about these words, like the news, right? Oh, I get my information from the news. N-E-W-S, news. It's there to steer your thinking. N-E-W-S, north, east, west, south. The news is there to steer your thinking. And think about the word headlines, right? Read the headlines. It's fear. It's when I think of headlines, right? When I'm stressed, yeah. And I get headlines, and because I'm watching the news, it's steering my thinking to present me with fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Right? It can be. Not always, but there is proof of that. Historically, there is proof of that. So don't let your mind be steered, right? Entertainment. Think about these words, entertainment. Entertain, and what's meant? Mental. Your mind, right? Capture your mind. News, northeast, west, south, steer your thinking. Fear, false evidence appearing real. I forget the quote from Patrick Henry, one of my quotes from the other, I'll throw it up there in editing. It said, free people have the privilege of not being, can't remember the word, influenced or something by imaginary dangers, right? So that guy was like late 1600s, you know, in the 1700s, right? So it's not a new concept. And I think maybe Karis had one of the quotes about the news, right? Someone who doesn't read is smarter than someone who reads only the newspapers. I totally hacked that quote just now, but it was something like that. But anyway, did you have something you wanted to share?
Well, yeah, this idea that there's, centralization and control above the governments and all that. In that book, Tragedy and Hope, and I think other places too, it describes like this thing called the round table. And, we might think like, oh, the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Sort of like that. But there's like a diagram. So there's a round table at the center. And then there's all these other bodies that are around that. For example, Council on Foreign Relations.
Oh my gosh, I have that image. So I'll maybe put it in and editing.
Yeah, United Nations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, Club of Rome, and Royal Institute of International Affairs. And some of those groups, people might have heard of. And basically, the idea is that the round table at the center, makes the decisions and whatever, then puts it out to the other ones that are more public, like people know about those. But then those are comprised of government, heads of governments and things. And so then they implement those in their respective nations. And the whole idea was to keep centralized control. And I think also like the Queen and England and, whatever like that, to keep control of that. In other words, like, okay, fine, America, you can think that you declared your independence and now you can do your own thing. But secretly your leaders are going to still come to these meetings, and then we're going to have these secret meetings at the round table. And so it's still, it's still under that control. And of course the banking, one of those quotes we talked about, the Rothschilds, like they control the money, then they control, so it's all for the banking families.
Right. And I was one of the things on the roundtable? Is it the Bilderberg group?
Yeah.
That one of them? Yeah. Which, if you recall, right, CJ and I have been following, I've been studying on the Bilderberg group for a long time, years and years. But in the beginning, everyone denied it. Even that group even existed, right? So it was, hey, like, oh, did you know there's this group called Bilderberg group? Like, I'm all I want to know, I'm just after the truth. When things are thrown at us that aren't true, I'm like, okay, well, we got to figure out what's true. That's all I'm after. Like, I don't want anything else. So it's like, oh, there's this group called the Bilderberg group. Well, what are they about? What do they do? Well, it's like all these really powerful people that all meet. It's very secret. Like, they might have somebody got a glimpse of somebody, you know, going there one time. And it's like, oh, it's all. And then it's, oh, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And then later it comes out, yeah, that's true. And, you know, yeah, we do meet. We're powerful people. And, you know, it's a secret meeting and we're going to make deals and not, you know, let anybody know what's going on. And nobody came to me and apologized and said, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I doubted you, that was real. It becomes known and everyone forgot that, you know, there were people saying, hey, there's some weird stuff going on over here, right? Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on, especially I'll consider myself a little bit of a whistleblower like you in the beginning of this pandemic. I put in quotes because it was just a freaking debacle. So many problems, so many things that weren't real. There were things that were real, but, you know, if people say, oh, well, you know, we didn't know, blah, 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 you're wrong. You didn't want to know, because the truth, if what I was saying or what CJ was saying or other people were not alone, if what we were saying was true, you, the people who denied the truth, your world would fall apart, is what it is. It's too difficult. The truth hurts sometimes. I'm waiting for someone to hit me up and say, hey, you remember when you said this and this, and I doubted that, and I didn't think it was true, but now we find out it was. And I'm sorry about that. I did have one person thank me for presenting some of the issues we presented early on about issues with the vaccine and stuff like that, that like, hey, let's hold on. Even though everybody's telling you, go, get it. Like, let's hold on here. Like, it hasn't been tested, like hardly at all. It's not authorized, you know, that, and when people that said stuff like that, who are more well-known than us, getting canceled and, oh, you know, what do you call it? Fake news and blah, blah, blah. But I did have someone thank me for presenting the issues, and so they were a little more cautious and they didn't get an injection that is unnecessary, and they were thankful and they did thank me for that. So that was cool. I'm not doing this so that people will come and thank me, or that people will come say, oh, you were right, we were wrong, sorry, right? I wish I was wrong about some of it. So
yeah, and then just recently, one of the directors of Pfizer in that hearing or whatever said, we did not test to, it's not going to be exact quote, but we didn't test the shots for transmission. Like, we didn't test it to see if it would stop the transmission of the virus. We didn't test that before it went out. That wasn't one of the things we did. because we had to move at the, this is a quote, speed of science.
So made up.
I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, or scream when I heard that. The speed of science? Isn't science slow? I mean, relative, you know, like, okay, I can do a test and boil water, you know, in 2 seconds. Okay. I don't mean that. I just mean like, you know, scientific theories and experiments and proving hypotheses and having other people being able to repeat them. And, you know, going through that whole process is slow and maybe never ending because we're only always learning new things.
Correct.
So to say, oh, we had to hurry up. We didn't test for transmission because we had to go at the speed of science. Wrong. Like, it's just mind-boggling.
I know. And then you had people like, I'll call out one person, like Rachel Maddow, who said, if you get the shot, you can't spread it.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people.
Yeah, lots of people said that.
Yeah.
And Biden, like, and yeah.
Right. All right. Well, that's all the time we had for part one of this segment. Be sure to tune in next time for part two. And be sure to check out awaketheiron.com for the full video experience.